It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Good afternoon, everyone. It is 1900 UTC, and it's time for the news. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you're having a good day and had a good weekend. Let's go ahead and start up where we always start up.
World news.
Yeah, let's jump around, look at some world news, see what's happening. Let's go ahead here. Of course, one of the first things to do is always just go to com. And you just type COM at the terminal, and then go ahead and enter. You'll go into commode, the application to chat, press G for go to, type in on radio, all in one word, and then hit enter, and you'll be taken to the Anon Radio room. You'll have fun. SMJ's around. I'm around. Jazzmaz is probably in there too, so it's a good time. All right, let's start off with the news story from the AP. French doctors are warning that his country has lost control of the virus. A French doctor warned Monday that his country had lost control of the epidemic, a day after health authorities reported more than 52,000 new coronavirus cases, as nations across Europe enact more sweeping restrictions to try to slow surging infection rates. Spain, the first European country to surpass 1 million confirmed COVID-19 cases, declared a state of emergency Sunday that included a nationwide overnight curfew, a cap of 6 people on social gatherings, and possible travel bans in and out of the hardest-hit regions. The effect was clear on Barcelona's famed Las Ramblas promenade, which was deserted Sunday night when it normally would have been teeming with people. In two major Italian cities, people took to the streets amid a pushback from small sections of the society to new restrictions. On Friday, demonstrators in Naples protested a locally imposed 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. curfew and clashed with police. On Saturday, far-right and neo-fascist groups led similar protests in Rome against curfew. Another protest is planned for Tuesday in Milan. Safe to say, a lot of countries are having big protests against these curfews and these lockdowns as they're coming along. And it's pretty sad. Lawmakers in the Czech Republic, this is later in the story, lawmakers in the Czech Republic, which has become one of the hardest hit nations in the pandemic's resurgence in Europe, are set to approve a government plan to draft up to 300 military health personnel from NATO and EU countries to help treat the influx of patients. They will help their Czech colleagues at Prague's military hospital and at Field Hospital for 500 patients that the armed forces completed over the weekend at Prague's exhibition ground. The first group of 28 National Guard doctors from the U.S. is expected to arrive later this week. So it's very chilling. The virus, the pandemic continues to get more and more out of control in Europe. And doctors expect it to just get worse. Of course, the virus isn't the only thing killing people. If we go in, Turkey and France is suffering from a backlash against some... the cartoonist, or the guy, that French teacher that showed some Muhammad cartoons, that was beheaded. So here's the story from Reuters. Turkish leader Tayyip Erdogan asked his compatriots to stop buying French goods on Monday, in the latest expression of anger in the Muslim world over being displayed in France, over images being displayed in France of the Prophet Muhammad, which some Muslims consider blasphemous. In Bangladesh on Monday, protesters held placards with a caricature of French President Emmanuel Macron and the words, "Macron is the enemy of peace," while Pakistan's parliament passed a resolution urging the government to recall its envoy from Paris. Erdogan, whose history fraught relation with Macron, said France was pursuing an anti-Islam agenda. "I'm calling to all my citizens from here to never help French brands or buy them." The Turkish president has made similar boycott calls in the past, including an appeal not to buy U.S. electronic goods in 2018 that was not followed through. On Monday, he joined a chorus of voices calling for a boycott. In Kuwait City, a supermarket had stripped its shelves of L'Oreal cosmetics and skincare products after the cooperative union to which it belongs decided to stop stocking French goods. In Saudi Arabia, calls for boycott of French market chain Carrefour were trending on social media, though two stores Reuters visited in Saudi capital on Monday seemed as busy as normal. A company representative in France said it had not yet felt any impact. Hello, Harry Larry. Hello, X1. Welcome. something just to know is it is 1900 UTC, which means at 1930 UTC, you've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, and that is a fun show. Happens every single day, not just Monday through Friday. And after that, since it's Monday, after that, we've got the Mix Remix with Harry Larry, and that's another fun show. So definitely, if you're tuned in now, stick around. Stay tuned in for a while. There's a lot of good stuff coming up. Oh, and hello, Retsu. Welcome. Mix Remix. Yep. All right. Well, let's keep on rolling through the world news for a few more minutes. Australia says it has raised grossly disturbing reports that with Qatar, that women were strip-searched and examined before a flight from Doha to Sydney. The women were checked for signs of having recently given birth after a newborn baby was found abandoned in a toilet at Hamad International Airport. The unidentified baby has been cared for since being found on October 2nd. The searches came to light when Australian women spoke out. Women from other countries were also examined. All adult women on the Qatar Airways flight were required to disembark to be body searched, two of the women told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. 13 Australian women were taken to an ambulance on the tarmac and told to remove their underwear before being examined. Kim Mills told The Guardian she was among those taken off the flight and led into a dark car park where three ambulances were waiting to perform medical examinations. However, officials did not subject her to the examination due, she suspected, to her being in her 60s. Even so, she said the experience was horrifying. My legs were just wobbling. I was terrified they were going to take me away somewhere. Why didn't they explain to us what was going on, she said, adding that airplane staff later told her they didn't know what was happening. So, it's very scary. But yeah, this is a flight leaving from Doha, Qatar, to Sydney, Australia. And they found a baby in the bathroom. So then they went and they strip-searched all the women that were on outbound flights. And so, it's been labeled as disturbing, offensive, and concerning. The Australian government said reports had indicated the treatment of the women was beyond circumstances in which the women could give free and informed consent. When asked by reporters if that constituted sexual assault, Foreign Minister Maurice Payne said, "No, I'm not suggesting that, because I've not seen the detailed report of the events." She said she had referred the grossly disturbing, offensive, concerning set of events to the Australian Federal Police, and Australia would determine the next steps after it received an explanation from Qatari officials. Yeah, so very wild news there coming to us from the BBC. We jump back over to France. And routers, France is looking at options for tighter restrictions, just like everywhere else in Europe. Ooh, Ubuntu 20.10 upgrade is available. Ask me later. All right, so French authorities are looking at options for still tighter measures to fight COVID-19, which has kept spreading in the country despite some of the strictest restrictions in Europe. France 2 weeks ago imposed a daily curfew from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m., two industry sources in contact with government said officials are now looking at measures including starting the curfew earlier, confining people to their homes at weekends except for essential trips, and closing non-essential shops. Under the scenario officials are examining, those measures would apply to the Paris region and two other cities badly affected by the virus, Marseille and Lyon, according to two sources who spoke on condition of anonymity. A third source, close to the government, said those measures were among a range of options which will be presented this week to the president, but the government source said no final decision had been taken and other options are possible. So. Oh, was the baby on the plane? I thought they found the baby in the restroom. Let's jump back. Thanks, Harry Larry. Calm, giving us a little bit of extra insight. We'll make sure we go. Ah, the article that we have says that the baby was found abandoned in a toilet at Hamad International Airport. But it's unclear if they made everyone on all outbound planes deboard or not. So, yeah. I don't know why they pulled those people off of the plane. They pulled the women off of that plane. I'm not sure if they pulled all the women off of all planes. It said 13 women were taken to an ambulance on the tarmac. So, sorry about that. Didn't mean to cause any misunderstanding. Stories that are surprising or sensational, I want to be sure we're all clear on. So, no stress. All right. Okay, so we did France. We're going to look at some COVID-19 stuff now. Our friends in China have some news. The BBC is reporting China is once again mass testing an entire city for the coronavirus amid a regional outbreak in the Xinjiang province. Around 4.7 million people in Kashgar are being tested, with 138 asymptomatic cases found so far. China has been largely successful in bringing infection rates down, but there continue to be small outbreaks. Xinjiang is home to China's mostly Muslim Uyghur minority, which rights groups say is being persecuted by the government in Beijing. Schools in Kashgar have been closed, and residents are not allowed to leave the city unless they have a negative test report. The first case in the Kashgar outbreak was an asymptomatic woman working in a garment factory in Shufu County, on the outskirts of the city. The woman, who was revealed to be infected following what Chinese state media described as routine testing, was the first local case detected in mainland China for 10 days. Widespread testing began on Saturday and covered another 137 asymptomatic cases. Asymptomatic cases are not counted in China's official tally of 85,810 confirmed infections. The country's death toll stands at 4,634. So, this is very interesting news. And China seems like the country that kind of has kind of resumed life as normal and just been beating the virus down whenever it pops up. So it's very, anytime they take action, it's interesting to see what they're doing. Let's jump back across the Pacific and look at Mexico. This is a rounder story. Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador said on Monday he is considering appealing to the UN for help securing the return to Mexico of pre-Hispanic artifacts held in museums abroad. I'm seriously considering presenting an initiative to the UN for the return of these heritage pieces to their original villages. He said the display of the artifacts in European museums was part of a colonialist policy. López Obrador has asked European institutions to send pre-Hispanic artifacts to Mexico to be displayed during events to commemorate the 500th anniversary of the fall of the Aztec Empire to Spain next year. Some of the institutions have not yet granted requests, expressing concern about damage in transport or whether the artifacts will be returned. So we'll see here. Initially, thought it meant he was trying to get them to be permanently returned, but it sounds like he's just trying to get them loaned. Yeah, exactly. So we'll keep going. As we mentioned, France 24 also covered that Spain is imposing a COVID-19 curfew. They declared a state of emergency, and they are just suffering pretty badly. But it's just a video, so if you want to check it out, go to France24.com. Okay, so more death and destruction. You know, it's always present in our world. Reuters is reporting airstrikes on Syrian rebel camp killed at least 35 people. Airstrikes on camp in northwest Syria run by rebel fighters backed by Turkey killed at least 35 people and wounded scores on Monday, a war monitor and rebel source said. The rebel source said suspected Russian strikes targeted the Falek al-Sham faction in their base close to the border with Turkey, killing 35 and injuring 50 others. Many remain missing, the source said. There's no immediate comment from Moscow. The UK-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights put the death toll at 78. Syrian government forces backed by Russian air power have driven rebels back to a pocket of territory adjoining Turkey after more than 9 years of conflict triggered by protests against President Bashar al-Assad in 2011. Ankara sent thousands of troops into the region this year to stall the Syrian government advances and prevent an influx of refugees. Monday's airstrike targeted the camp near Kafir Tekerim, about 10 kilometers from the Turkish border in Syria's Idlib province. So, good luck out there. That's been a bloody war for a long time. And if we go to Belarus, France 24 gives us a little update. Factory workers on Monday chanted slogans, students took to the street, and police made detentions, as Belarusians answered the opposition call for a national strike. Tikhanovskaya had given Lukashenko until Sunday to quit power, halt violence against protesters, and release political prisoners, warning he would otherwise face a general strike from Monday. The 66-year-old Lukashenko, accused by the opposition of stealing August elections, ignored the ultimatum, and police cracked down on the latest series of opposition protests on Sunday. Today, the people's strike is beginning, Tikhanovskaya said on her Telegram channel. Employees of state factories and enterprises, transport workers and miners, teachers and students have gone on strike since this morning. She called on members of private businesses, clergy, and athletes to join in. The 38-year-old opposition figure, who claims to have won the August 9th election, is now based in Lithuania, an EU member state, did not provide any figures on the number of people participating. And if you remember, there is a call for a general labor strike in the U.S. if the president refuses to step down here, which is kind of weird to think that Belarus and the U.S. both have a problem where their president, when voted out, doesn't leave office in a peaceful way. And the, you know, anyway, it's pretty wild. If we can jump back over to Europe real quick, Angela Merkel has plans for Germany. Chancellor Angela Merkel in planning a lockdown light. They'll focus on closing bars, restaurants, and public events to slow a second wave of COVID-19 infections in Germany. Shops will stay open with some restrictions under the plan, and schools will keep operating, apart from in areas with particularly high numbers of cases. A government spokesman neither confirmed nor denied the report and said no final decisions had been made. But infections have almost doubled in the past week in Germany, and cases are also rising across Europe and large parts of the Northern Hemisphere. Merkel is eager to avoid a second total national lockdown that might threaten a fragile recovery in Europe's largest economy. So we'll keep an eye out there. Let's see. We also have some news from Brussels. Hey, this is coming to us from France 24. Thousands of climate activists have added their names. Yeah, I know, but it's just a funny comparison that Lukashenko is not stepping down, and then there's a general strike, and then the U.S. unions have said there'll be a general strike if the president doesn't step down here. Thousands of climate activists have added their names to a new campaign spearheaded by Greta Thunberg, asking the European Union to retract a farming policy that they say would make it impossible to reach the EU's climate goals. The Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg has called on her followers to sign an open letter to EU leaders after the European Parliament on Friday endorsed a proposal for new farming policies across the bloc. The Common Agricultural Policy, or CAP, sets out rules for farmers and agricultures across the European Union and accounts for one-third of the EU budget, 58.1 billion euros. The policy subsidizes up to 7 million farms across the EU. Current rules expire at the end of the year. So we'll see how that goes. It seems like it's a little bit more complex than we can get into real quick in our little short story here. But there's a lot of detail at France24.com. Okay, let's keep on a rolling here. We'll just go through a couple more headlines because it's kind of more the same, just each country has a headline. Norway is tightening its rules on gatherings and foreign workers as COVID-19 spreads there. Cases are up across large parts of the Northern Hemisphere, and authorities have reported increases in Oslo and other parts of Norway, which has long had one of Europe's lowest rates of infection. Indoor public gatherings will be limited to 50 people, down from 200, and people will only be able to invite up to 5 guests to their house, down from 20. Okay, and let's see, do we have any more COVID stories real quick? In Hungary, in Budapest, more than 20,000 nurses had signed a petition by Monday against a law passed by Hungary's parliament this month that allows public healthcare workers to be relocated to another hospital for up to 2 years. Hungary, like other Eastern European countries, is grappling with a shortage of medical workers during the pandemic, just as new infections are rising. Many nurses and doctors have left Hungary to work abroad for higher salaries. The law forces healthcare professionals to choose between working in the state-run or the private health sector. Those in the public system can now be relocated to another institution for up to 2 years versus a maximum of 44 days previously. The law introduces a substantial wage hike for doctors, but the increase does not apply to nurses, whose salaries have gradually been raised since 2019 based on a previous decree. The petition was started last week by the Chamber of Hungarian Healthcare Professionals in an online survey among its members in October. More than 31% of respondents said they might not sign their new contracts based on the law. And they just give us a little more facts here. More than 95% of women are women. Whoops, got that backwards. They have families. Many of them are single mothers. A long commute will disrupt their family life. Thus, many could leave the profession. We'll see what happens there. And just one more international story for you. German government is warning the Thai king not to conduct politics from Germany. Germany is continuing to look into the behavior of Thailand's king, who tends to spend long stretches of time in Bavaria, Germany. German former minister Heiko Maas said on Monday, as opposition protests in Thailand gain speed. "We are monitoring this long term," Maas said. "It will have immediate consequences if there are things we assess to be illegal." In Bangkok, protesters plan to march to the German embassy on Monday to present a petition to Berlin to investigate the king's use of power while in the European Union. The German government has said it would be unacceptable for him to conduct politics from Germany. So, very, very interesting stuff there. Of course, it's now time for us...
I want to hear the music!
...to play a song, because it's important to play a song before we talk about depressing U.S. stuff. And that, you know, that's always fun. That's something to do. We also have a couple of tech news stories, so that'll be fine. Let's see what we got in our library that we can go ahead and play out for you. What about... Here we go. Let's see. Let me check the length of time for this song. It's a little long. Let's see. Sorry. Sometimes I think of a song and then it's like, oh crap, that's like an 8-minute song. That's not going to work. All right. Here we go. We'll probably cut this one short, but this is called Practical Amanda. It's by, it's a Ben Folds song, but it's got a cool little story. Basically, Nick Hornby and Ben Folds got together, and like Nick Hornby like wrote the songs, and then Ben Folds played and sung it, or they collaborated, something like that. But this is a really fun album. It's called Lonely Avenue. So anyway, here's this song, or part of it.
Who'd look at that dump and see a home? Why not move in somewhere easy? Urinals or bedrooms ought to be. Who could be bothered, really? You're really good at all that stuff. The nuts and bolts of.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Sorry, that song has a whole nother verse, and it's a beautiful album, but it's one of those, anyway, I really like that song. It makes me think, always makes me, that whole album makes me sad, but it dates itself because it's got a song called the Levi Johnston Blues, and that was the guy who got... Oh, what was her name? The governor of Alaska. Anyway, it was the governor of Alaska's daughter's boyfriend. And they were not married, but his girlfriend was pregnant. And it was like a blues song written from his perspective, so it's kind of funny. All right, so you know what time it is.
It is time for tech news.
It is time for tech news. All right, here's a couple of quick tech stories for you. First up, zombie batteries are causing hundreds of waste fires, experts warn. That's right, industry urges people not to throw out dead batteries with household rubbish or recycling. Welcome, Froggy Me. Zombie batteries are causing hundreds of fires a year at waste and recycling sites, industry experts have warned. They are urging people to ensure dead batteries are not thrown away in household rubbish or recycling. Batteries discarded with general waste are likely to be crushed or punctured during collection and processing, according to the Environmental Services Association. Some types, particularly lithium-ion and nickel-metal hydride batteries, can ignite or explode when damaged and set fire to other materials. In some cases, this leads to incidents requiring dozens of firefighters and the evacuations of residents, potentially putting lives at risk. Lithium-ion batteries are believed to have been responsible for at least 250 fires at recycling and waste facilities across the UK in the year to March 2020. These fires represented more than a third of all fires reported, up from a quarter the year before. Lithium-ion batteries are typically found, you know what they're found in, laptops, tablets, mobile phones, Bluetooth devices, electric toothbrushes, pretty much any, a lot of things, a lot of modern equipment now. People in the UK throw away 22,000 tons of batteries a year, but only 45% are recycled properly. So, please, be sure, recycle your batteries properly. Usually you take them to your hazard waste pickup in the US. NASA has some news. This is from the independent.co.uk. It's sciencey, but it fits in with the tech news theme, I think. There's water. Water has been definitively found on the moon, NASA has said, and there are a set of water traps that could hold it stably. So somebody, I'm sure Publius is excited to hear this. But the research suggests that water could be distributed right across the lunar surface, not just trapped in the cold, shadowy parts of the moon. The discovery is a major breakthrough in the mission to explore the rest of the solar system, as well as giving a better understanding of the lunar surface. It also raises new questions about how exactly the water got there and how it is able to survive the harsh conditions on the moon. It could, for instance, be trapped in glass beads on the surface that form when micrometeorites crash into the moon and melt a part of the lunar surface, either forming water or capturing it in the beads as it does. Scientists had previously thought any water on the sunlit side of the moon would be immediately lost, but it appears that it is in fact present, and not just on the parts that are shaded from the sun. NASA was keen to stress that the amount of water is very limited, with the new discovery representing only around 1% of the amount of water found in the Sahara Desert. But even that very small amount of water was not previously confirmed to exist, and it remains unclear how it could be created or stay on the surface. So this is exciting news, definitely something to keep an eye on. There's lots of information. Check out wherever you like to get your news. This came from The Independent. And we've only got about a minute to go, because, that's how it goes sometimes. You get lost and you start talking. But the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobes coming up in just a few minutes. I will just run through a couple of headlines. The other tech story was that a large psychotherapy clinic in Finland was hacked, and the data appears to have included personal identification records and notes about what was discussed in therapy sessions. Vastaamo is a nationwide practice with about 20 branches and thousands of patients. The clinic has advised those affected to contact the police. It said it believed the data had been stolen in November 2018, with a further potential breach in March 2019. Lithium's dangerous, for sure. Thanks so much. I'll be back tomorrow.
Well, that means our time is coming to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Oh, man. The timer's a little early. It's a little dubious. We've got about 30 seconds. My timer is a little short. Thanks so much for tuning in. Big shout outs to everyone in comm. It's the way people and I, we talk. So it's Tobe time. Time for Tobe time. Do, 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 do. Yep. Sometimes it happens. We got about 10 seconds. We got 4, 3, 2 Spurious transmissions.